creeping, whatever it is. And but I said, here, I thought of a good post I'm gonna put on. This is the day we all become terrorists and we threaten the life of one little rodent because he says something we don't like. Folks, I saw a sign on a church the other day driving by, and I thought, it's about time somebody pointed it out. 6 more weeks till spring. It's a mathematical equation. Whether groundhog, I don't know who came up with it, where they, because I know every farmer sitting around thinking, just let me shoot that thing. It will propagate and it will destroy my beans. It'll create holes in the fields. Well, praise God. Well, today we have war on the floor, so if you have any prayer requests, please get them around. We'll gather those up if you don't have one already prepared. And if you did, the ushers will bring me what was in the offering container. One thing, I do want to go ahead and start getting your mind really thinking about this. This is going to be a focus. I feel strongly in my spirit that this is something we are to do. And that is this mission to Bluefield, which is the Wade Center. Okay? So if you can make it, and I'm going to primarily ask for men, folks, just for one reason. How many of you women have construction experience? We got a couple. Okay. Do you really want to go? Okay. Well, and it'll be easier on rooms and things of that nature as well. That just total logistical stuff. Other than that, I don't care. I know there's some women that they're just better carpenters than men. And there's men that are better typists than women, but I have yet to find too many men who can move their fingers that fast, especially when they got sausage fingers. Anyhow, if that's you, I'm not making fun of you. But anyhow, if you would like to go, if you're one of those guys who thinks he can go down and help and do anything, I mean, you ain't got to. I don't know what we might get into. I know the last time they got to doing some drywall, I mean, that's not hard stuff. And if you got enough guys, it's real easy. But I would like to know, because I believe it was in, late July, August, before our group was able to get there, get in, because they were booked. They have a lot of churches that come and do this. So I would like to shoot for June. If not, then I need to find out when we can get in there. So if you'd like to do that, please give me your name on a piece of paper and some dates that you know for sure you can, because I know some people have vacation after a certain time. Some people can't take vacation during certain times. So, but anyhow, and I would like to try to work that around where we can take the best group down. We're going to take care of the room, the food, and we've decided probably instead of utilizing their accommodations, we will probably just stay in a hotel. I believe that sounds like it might be a little better. But we'll do it that way. And like I said, we now have a truck that I'm sure will make it. I have a trailer that's full of tools now. And so everything's enclosed, can be secured. I told Angela the other day, I said, this is one of those things that I know I'm supposed to do. It is a burn. It's something that's burning in me, and so it's going to happen. So as I said, the breakfast that we have here, the money is going to go towards that as our outreach. We're going to start putting money that we're going to sow into. That is our ministry that we're sowing into right now, is to reach out. God sends people around the world to preach the gospel, and then there's some, he says, how about reaching out at home? And, you know, I know many of you, like I said the other day, I know, you know, Kentucky, West Virginia, if you got family that came from the hills, that one time in life, somebody was a coal miner. My great-grandfather died of black lung, so there you have it. And got family members who worked in the coal mines. They were smart and got out. As a neighbor of mine once said, in West Virginia, we learned the 3 R's, reading, writing, and Route 23. Get out of West Virginia. But like I said, and be praying for this. If you'd like to sow into it as well, this is a good seed. Because I know they don't have a whole lot of money towards materials. That, like I said, they were cutting drywall with a circular saw. that's not safe at all. So I want to be able to, if we need to pick up a material or something, we can go to the closest Lowe's, pick it up, and bring it back to the site instead of saying, well, we can't do this job. I want to be like when our youth group went down, they handed them a list. And how long was it, Clint? 20 items. How long did it take you to do that?
A couple days.
And my niece was the head of it down there at the time, and she says, we don't expect you to get this all done. And they came back and handed her the list, and it was all done. So they were just totally amazed. So, so that's something, like I said, I want you to be thinking about and praying about. It is going to be a focus. If it happens in June, I'm going to try to stay away from July. I don't want to be gone too far. And maybe August. And yes, it gets hot in West Virginia too, but good thing is those are the mountains and there's rivers and creeks that flow down through there. And anyhow, so having said that, today I want to talk about something that actually Miss Maggie brought up on Facebook a couple weeks ago. I didn't read any of the articles, but she asked a question, and it's a good question. And one I think we're going to talk about here today. I was sharing a little bit with Angela this morning about it. So if you will, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at the Church of Laodicea. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, or the messenger, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, first off, many people believe that there's a dispensational message here in with the churches, meaning that this will represent the churches in the end days. Okay, many people believe that before the church is raptured out, this will be what the church looks like. It will be wealthy. It will say, we have nothing. We don't need anything. We are self-sufficient. We have exercised all the works of God, and we know how to do it now. We have great works going on. Look at them. Count the ministries we've got, the outreaches that we've got. You can count them. We have our name on every one of them. Okay? Some people also believe that the last two churches, Philadelphia was before this one. Philadelphia, God brought no charge against that church. The name itself means brotherly love. That's why the city of Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. It's what the word means. God said, looked at them. He says, I know you are poor, but you are rich. I know what the Jews who say they are Jews and are not have done to you. I know the persecutions. I know the things you've done. I know how you've been treated. I know what the works you have done and how you've been backstabbed. So people believe that these last two churches represent the church just before Jesus Christ returns. Okay? Now, having said that, Maggie's question was, how do I make sure that I'm not lukewarm? Okay? There's some things we need to look at in this scripture about it. And I got to get my eyeballs back out. You'd think I'd leave them on, but this is the pair of glasses I just got, and I dropped them, and there's a scuff right there. I forgot to get the scratch resistant, and so it's really irritating. And he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. He says, I know your works, the things that you do. As I said before, it's a large church. Hang on a second, I'm falling apart here. He says, I know the outreaches you have. I know you have labeled them all. You have directors. You have vast ministries going all the way around. I know all of that. I know that you have exercised the laws of sowing and reaping. I know that you tithe and that you are now very wealthy. And now you know you need nothing. Laodicea was known for its eye salve, by the way. That's why he told him, he said, I recommend you buy some eye salve so that you can see. Why? Because first off, Jesus, remember what he told us about the log in our eye? He says, how dare you point out a little twig in somebody else's when you got a log in yours? He said, they look around and they say, you need to grow up in faith, brother. You need to stretch out and exercise your faith. How does somebody else know that I'm not? God stretches us all the time. Our walk is between us and God, not between us and man. So again, no man has a right to judge you in that walk. As they say, until you've walked a mile in my shoes, feel free not to judge me. Now, Jesus said, I wish that you were cold or hot. Let's pay attention here. Here's what the first thing we start looking at when, and this is the way I've always heard it. You got to be hot for God. You can't be cold. You got to be hot. Well, hot, here's the idea people have for being hot for God. You're running around with your hair on fire, going to every preaching, every tent revival, every seminar, every this, every that, all the time. You look like you're doing something, don't you? You're going 100 miles an hour. You're rolling on the floor. You're running on the pews. You're doing whatever it is the thing of the time. And he said, this does not make you cold or hot. But he said, we got to focus. He said, I wish that you were cold or hot. Why? Because he said, you're in my mouth. Do you put people in your mouth? No. What do you put in your mouth? Water. Cold water refreshes the body. It restores the soul on a hot day. Hot water mixed with a little coffee grounds or cocoa or tea warms the body. It has a benefit to the body. All that water will hydrate you, okay? I remember in boot camp, the fountains that we had to fill our canteen sometimes out in the sun, the water was just, you put it in your canteen, it's almost hot sometimes, but it's just, I know it's hydrating me because I'm sweating still, but it will hydrate you, but it brings you no restoration. No refreshing of your spirit or your soul to keep moving. I remember drinking that and just thinking, oh, Lord, I hate this stuff. Now, partway through boot camp, I figured something out. The barracks are air-conditioned now, which is a good and a bad thing. Half of us had pneumonia in the middle of July. But the barracks were air-conditioned. If every night, and they made us drink water left and right, and when we were done, we had to pour the canteen over our head to prove that it was empty and stand there. You try drinking a quart of water in about 3 minutes. Tell me, yeah, you don't enjoy drinking water anymore. But I figured out that if I filled my canteens up every night and put them in my pouches on my gear, that in the air temperature, they would get cold. So that when I walked around all day, that little furry liner would keep my water cold. And these guys that didn't fill up their canteens, they would have to drink that nasty, lukewarm water. And it smelled funny. I mean, it's swamp. Come on. It smelled funny. It tasted funny.
And it's like, ah. But when it was cold, see, cold water kind of takes on a little different flavors. Unless there's some really seriously something wrong with your water, even hard water isn't nearly as bad when it's ice cold. When it's hot, you get a little different deal too. But when water is lukewarm is when it's nasty. It doesn't provide any refreshment. See, Jesus is saying, you're not providing my body any restoration, any refreshment to build itself up and go on. Now, I know a few people, I find them to be maybe a bit odd, who love to drink hot coffee when it's 90 degrees out. If you're out working, sweating, they're sitting there with their canteen, or not the canteen, their thermos full of hot coffee, and they're just sitting there drinking hot coffee, and I'm like, Lord, I want to strip all my clothes off right now and go run and find water to jump in or something to restore my body. And see, in the summer, when I'm hot, I want cold water to restore me. I'll drink a couple cups of coffee early in the morning, but once the temperature starts coming up, I'm cut off. I go to iced tea. I do iced tea year round, but in the wintertime, I will drink a lot more coffee, especially if it's cold. If it's cold out, I'll sit down with that coffee and it will begin to warm my body. Jesus is saying that we need to be just like that. We need to bring refreshment and restoration to his body, which is the body of Christ, the church. Not chasing revivals all the time. Revivals are good. Meetings are good to go to. But the problem is that does not make you on fire for God. That makes you tired. It wears you out after a time. I even heard a prominent minister's wife say, in the last 30 years, God knows I've gone to enough meetings that I can skip church. First off, there's a danger when you start skipping your regular services. It makes you weak. There's a reason why God said, first off, you work 6 days and then you take a day off and restore your body. That's what this does for us spiritually. It restores our body. You may not think you're getting anything, but you're still holding on, are you not? That was one of the accommodations that the church at Philadelphia got. Persevere, because I know you know how to hold on. You've proved it time and time again. When people who said they were for you were not came against you. So we have that. How do we keep in tune with things? How do we stay in tune? As I pointed out, there's seasons, are there not? Seasons that I like to drink. Now, if I'm drinking water, plain water, it has to be cold. It doesn't have to be ice water. As a matter of fact, I actually may put one or two ice cubes in my water, but my water now runs through my freezer, so it's naturally cold that way. And even in the summer when I was a kid and never had a riding lawnmower that worked, so we always got stuck with a 20-inch push mower, no muffler, that didn't have a breather on, had a piece of wood stuck in the flap for the choke to hold it open so that you could mow the yard. And I'd be so hot and tired. And we lived on a farm right outside Chesterville on County Road 23. And in the front yard, there was this hand crank pump sitting on a sandstone slab, said Jim on the side. And you got there, and we didn't know it worked, and we got there and cranked on that sucker one day, and all of a sudden water started flowing up. And the water was so cold. And it was good water. It was a good spring. As a matter of fact, Mom would have us, if we wanted Kool-Aid or something, we'd go out there, crank that thing up, and make the Kool-Aid with that water, as opposed to the rusty stuff that the well was. But see, that water, it didn't matter how hot I was. If I drank that cool water, I was restored. And in the wintertime, come in after the little bit of playing we got to do in the snow or just bringing in firewood or whatever, and you're cold, a cup of hot cocoa. Just the heat brought life back to me. See, and that's what we're supposed to be. God kept us here to bring life to a fallen and dying world. Not to show them that we're better than them. but to bring about his love. Like I said, we got to go back to Philadelphia on this. You want to know how to stay on fire for God? Follow the Church of Philadelphia. Their love for each other, their love for the fallen, the lost. When you see people who love other people, that's the fire of God. Does that mean that you don't need to go to church? No, you've got to go to church. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, thousand times, understand this. You need to be in church. We need to be in church. We become goofy. We become goofy people because we stay at home and suddenly, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I know people that have smoked pot. They knew, they were raised in Christian families and started smoking pot. As soon as they started smoking pot, you know what they started doing? They started taking the Word of God and they started experimenting in new theologies. Wrong. The Word of God is not hard to understand. Just like this, he was always talking about more of a water, more of a liquid. He never said, I would consume you and eat you. That makes no sense. But what does make sense was, I wish you were cold water or hot water. I could use you then. But because you're tepid, lukewarm, room temperature water, I can't stand you. You bring me no enjoyment, no pleasure, because you don't want to really do anything. That's another thing about room temperature or lukewarm water. Water that's flowing, water that's moving is usually cool. Water that is stale and stagnant is usually lukewarm. It takes on the temperature of its surrounding area. You go to a creek. Now, like I said, if it's a running creek, but if you find a pool back in the back somewhere that it's got the dust, the dirt foam on it and all that, it will be warmer than the stuff that's flowing. There's life in that. Anywhere there's water flowing, life can sustain. But water that is like the other stuff is dead and stagnant, you cannot maintain life, good life. And hot water, well, hot water, it has its own properties for other things. You can clean with it. You sterilize the water with it. I've drank right out of creeks around here. And all my life. If it's running ice cold, I'll drink out of it. I probably shouldn't. Probably ought to make sure it's not a runoff ditch. We used to play in a creek right in front of our house. It would run right down the side of the road and then cross right by our driveway and down by our house. And we'd go down there and we'd build a dam and we'd do all kinds of stuff. And, well, I remember when he did it. It was before I was 12 that the farmer put in a cesspool. He had a hog farm. I think technically what he did is illegal now. It probably was illegal then, but he just blocked up a waterway is all he did. And today I know they're supposed to be lined. EPA gets involved and all this stuff. It's a big deal because hog manure, let's just face it, is nasty. And, that was the creek we were playing in. Never once thought about it. But see, the creek had always been there because you could follow it on down and see where it had cut down into the sandstone. We'd pull big chunks of sandstone out. But then when he dammed that up and made a cesspool out of it, it contaminated that creek. We didn't play in it as much after that. As a matter of fact, we moved. But if we want to stay on fire for God, folks, we have to make sure, one, what we're doing is not based on, look at me. Look at our church. As a matter of fact, I think the Lord, God is, well, we've done it quite often. We support a lot of ministries in this county. There's a lot of ministries that don't get church support. I know Heartbeat
we're a pretty big, as far as the churches, we really do help them out a lot. There's other ministries, the Clothes Closet. These are ministries that are not church-based. And there's a few ministries that are church-based that we help them because they already have the ministry in place. They've got the infrastructure, and maybe they just need the money. So we help them out in that. But you know what we don't do? We don't go out and send out letterheads saying, we just simply mail a check. There it is. We're not drawing attention to ourselves about it. I'm telling you this because this is stuff you may not know and you have a right to. God, that's why he told us, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Don't be going out saying, hey, yo, our church, you know, we're going to do this. What happens when you fail? It happens. We've never gone out and just, we've never went out and tooted our horn saying, hey, we're going to do this. How many of y'all know the little place out here on the point where 42 and 61 split? I think the foundation's still there. Y'all remember what that was? That was a church. The church said, we're going to build our church here. That church, if I remember right, was actually right over here behind us in this building. I can't think of the man's name, but he's got his hot rods in there. That's where that church was at, and they were growing, and they said, we're going to do this. And how that came about, I don't know, but I do know this. When you start pointing and letting the world know what you're going to do, the devil comes after you greater. And that church split. And there you have it. 30 years later, it's gone. Does that make us better? No. That's what we have to keep in mind. We're no better than any other church. We need to make sure that our lives, individually, that we are doing as God has told us. Like I said, I believe you're here for a reason. God's going to bring more people in. There's more to happen. But if anything that God has showed me about this particular body, the things that we do, because we believe in spiritual warfare. I know a lot of churches still believe in spiritual warfare, but they're, in my opinion, just getting away from what the truth of it is and trying to develop a system. We're holding back evil principalities that want to rule. I seen them in a dream. I know they're here. Doesn't mean that every dream that I come across where something freaked me out that I take note, but that particular one I did. And God has proved it right. But if you want to stay where you're not vomited, that word, folks, that is a violent ejection. You know, I personally don't revel in the idea of vomiting. I don't know anybody that does. I even Googled to see how much force is created when you vomit. I cannot tell you how many websites trying to tell you how to vomit and enjoy it. 10 easy steps to vomit. I can think of one, and I did it once, and my ribs felt like somebody beat me with a ball bat, and I said, never again will I do that. If I'm going to vomit, I'm just going to vomit, and that's all there is to it. I'll wait. It'll take its natural course. But we all know that it is a violent. And when you're doing it, you're just thinking, oh, dear God, please get this over with. Please, quick. And then you're done. There can't be anything left. If you ever had food poisoning, you know what I'm talking about. Because you're ejecting both ends of your body at the same time. But Jesus said, I will eject you from me violently if you do not change. Folks, we need to be bringing refreshment to people. They should feel refreshed when they come to us. Not confused.
I'll tell you a little something. I read this article last night. You all know about the Larry Nassar. He was the gymnast doctor. You know, he's going to do 175 years in prison, and rightfully so. But one of the early people, she is now an attorney, but one of the early gymnasts that, I'm guessing she was one of the early ones that he had molested. She went to her church to talk to the church. And all the church told her was, you know, now, you know, we can't bring, you know, he needs to be forgiven and forgotten and let this go. See, folks, where's the restoration and refreshment in letting a child molester continue to do their job? Where is, and that was because of the church. Now, she still believes in God. She goes, but she said, that destroyed my relationship with that church and all my friends there. Because they told me, yeah, if anybody were to come to me, I'd say, you got to forgive them. And if there's any way they can be brought down, oh, I'm all for it. I read last night as well that a man in Florida, he had killed his cellmate in 2015, so they were waiting for trial and all this to do another for his new trial for murder. He was in for aggravated burglary. And he killed a cellmate, so now he's in there. Well, they put a child molester in with him. He killed that man. He said, well, there's one less child molester on the planet. And then when they brought him up on before the judge, he smiled and said, yeah. He said, that's one less child molester. Now, I know that sounds bad. God will forgive them, folks. God will help the people that are harmed. Okay? But you need to understand something. There has to be justice. I'm not going to sit up here and say, well, you know what? You know, somebody, I'm not one of those guys that sees the church as the sanctuary for people to run in and say, you can't take me. I killed 10 people just now, but you can't let them. I might shoot you myself. That's a bunch of crock. I've actually talked to people. One particular person, he was on charges for drugs, and he was running. And his mother had him call me, and I was talking to him, and he says, what do I do? I said, you've got a warrant for your arrest. Go turn yourself in. I said, you're going to do time. You know this. But I said, you need to go turn yourself in. God will forgive you. God will be with you. But you have to pay the man. Last time I got a speeding ticket, I had to pay the man. There is no getting away with paying the man. There is a price when we do this stuff in this world. But you see, she went to the church looking for restoration and refreshing in her soul. And the church, yeah, forgive. But they said, don't pursue anything. Say what? I mean, and at that point, folks, I need you to understand, it wasn't like years had passed. If they had done something, there wouldn't have been all those other young women to testify in his trial recently. They wouldn't have been there. This thing would have come to a stop, but the church was more worried about how it looks. Jesus, not once, was he doing anything to draw attention to himself. He went around secretly doing stuff. When he told Judas to give money to the poor, he just leaned down to Judas and spoke. It was common. That's why the Last Supper. It's why they thought that's what he had said. They had no clue what he had said. They thought he said, oh, go give some money to the poor. And here he was saying, basically, it's time to betray me. When we follow the guidelines of the Bible in our everyday life, it brings refreshment to us. It brings restoration to us. It will bring joy to us. We sang that song, and let the peace of God reign. That's how we let the peace of God reign.
Being on fire, folks, isn't running to meeting and meeting after meeting after meeting. I did that as a child. Did it partially even as an adult. And God restored me in some things in that, but he's also opened my eyes up to don't go chasing everybody. Because one of the men that, I don't even know why I went to the second meeting, but I went, but one of those men turned out to be one of the most racial, and he's a black man, one of the most racist men I've ever met, professing to be a prophet of the Lord. And I say this because he told our assistant pastor, get out from underneath that white man. You don't need him. And yet, he did. Because I can promise you, nobody else would have gave that Marine sergeant a chance to be a pastor. And yet, this guy did. We're not talking about, I can just look into your eyes and say, wow, man, you're on fire for the Lord. You know, you're going out. Listen, Jesus, the Bible tells us that we go out and we tell what we've done to the world. That's all. That's all we get from it. But Jesus told this church of Laodicea, he said, but I counsel you to buy gold refined in fire from me, robes white as snow, that you may cover your nakedness. He's not talking about the physical body. Obviously, they had clothes. They had gold. He was talking, remember, he said, when he was talking about money, he said, don't just lay up treasures here. Lay up treasures in heaven. They were going out. Let me kind of show you how this kind of works, because I've seen it. They'd go out to feed the hungry, to feed the poor, and right over top of the thing is their church name. In 6-foot tall letters, telling who is providing the meal for you. It's a membership drive. We don't do those here. Because it doesn't work. People need to get changed. But when you go out and you say, hey, here we are, you know, I'll just use us as an example. We go uptown, we set up a thing, and we say, hey, we're going to reach out to the world, but here's our big old banner that says, At His Feet Christian Center, we're going to feed the hungry. Come to us. Come, come, come. They'll come by the droves. People will show up for free food. I'm going to attest to that fact. I do. I don't even like the hamburgers and hot dogs they give me at Lowe's for contractors' days, but I'll show up. But you see, folks, on fire is about your heart. Where is your heart? See, as I said, even the disciples, when after Jesus had risen, and he's walking with two of his disciples down the road. And after he left, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? The word burned. It was a confirmation of who they were with. A burn inside you tells you you're on the right track. What is it? This Wade Center thing, this year, we've wanted to do it for a couple years, but this year is a burn. I can tell you more than anything, it's a burn now. Because I know it's on track for us. It's not just me. Okay, I need everybody to understand. It's not just me. It's all of us. This is something I want people to get involved in and help in. But if we do not listen to God for our lives, and we listen to God, oh,
you know, Pastor, the Edison Enterprise Baptist, they got this food pantry. What do you think about us making a food pantry? I say, how about I just give them an offering? They've got it figured out. I'm not one of these guys that believes in reinventing the wheel. It works. It's fine. They've got this great garage ministry. If you can't afford to take your car to somebody to get it fixed, they will work on it. Now, I don't know who's going to work on it. That's Brother Eddie's department. He determines who's working on what, because there have been a couple of them. Even Eddie had to yell at them. And they were just changing oil. But there are people that ministers to. Do you understand? And if we're a part of that, we're not losing out on our reward. Every person that gets ministered to there, we're a part of it. Every child that receives clothes for school. And folks, not just clothes. Like I said, I grew up poor from the time of 9 to about 16. We were poor. Okay? I mean, we drove cars that carpet was the only floorboard, and it was a $50 car, and that's what the junkyard would give you for it. Many times didn't know where food was coming from or heat. God provided. By the way, that's how I can stand up here and tell you, trust God. I've been through it. I'm not telling you some conjecture. I grew up in a great big mansion, and you know, and then I come back here and say, now you got to trust God, brothers and sisters. Now listen, I grew up wearing my cousin's hand-me-downs, who was 2 years younger than me. Fortunately, he was three sizes bigger. Downside was the clothes were already out of style by the time I got them. But I wore my green jeans. But this ministry out here, I know I've shared this before. This ministry out here, their heart, when I went to, we first talked to them about this, their heart is right where my heart is on that. They go out and they get clothes that are in fashion. See, we were adopted when I was in high school by a church. I praise God for them because there wasn't going to be a Christmas. They adopted us. They knew that they had a high school age student. So what did they do? They went out and bought me old man pants. Now I know that sounds like, well, you just weren't grateful. I wore them. I wore what I, you know, didn't have much options. But let me ask you something, folks. How many of you wear old man pants right now? I was hoping not to see any hands move, Richard. No, you got cool pants on, see? He's got cargo pockets. These are cool pants. So you're not an old man. I was 14 years old. But because we were poor, they gave us poor gifts. We need to keep you there. This is where you don't need to go above this. You're poor. You don't need to wear a pair of Lee jeans. They weren't that expensive even then. I'd have loved to have had a pair of Levi's. But that's what my cousin handed down to me. They were usually green or weird colors. I just wanted blue. But this ministry out here, their heart. New coats for winter. You know, sometimes if Angela and I are, especially at Kohl's, if we're at Kohl's and they got their clearance rack for their shoes, especially winter boots, and they've got a whole rack of them, we buy them all. And it's amazing how God works, folks, because usually we have a 30% off coupon with it that day. God is a good God. And if we will listen, we will go and do this. And you can do the same thing. And like I said, you're a part of this. So if you ever wonder, like, what are we doing? We're clothing the children. We're feeding the hungry. We're helping fix their cars. We're telling the pregnant teen mom You don't have to abort this baby. See, folks, you want to be on fire? That's on fire. Wanting to get it out. I know people, they're all about what's on the outside. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You're number one. You're number one. Hallelujah. I've seen it time and time again. And they turn around and they will stab you in the stinking back. Tell lies on you. That's why I've told you, I'm not moved by whether you get up and you dance, you shout, you scream, whatever it is you do. You do it because that's how you're expressing yourself to God. I love seeing that. And if you're like me, I forget what it was. Me and Angela were talking about, man, where were we at? And I said, well, this is about as much dancing as I get. Kind of just moving my foot and bouncing a little bit. That's about it. I just don't dance. Even when I was in rebellion, I couldn't dance. Couldn't do it. That's why I say, if you ever really see me come unglued, you better know that the Holy Spirit just lit a fuse. And that bottle rocket just took off. So understand that. If you want to be on fire for God, don't be spit out. You've got to bring refreshment to people. His body. That's being on fire. That's being, it's not actually being on fire. It's being what you need to be at the time. Do I need to be cool? Cool, refreshing waters to bring life to somebody? Or do I need to be that cup of hot tea that they need to warm their body? God, what is it you need from me? God didn't lock you in to just be this. He made us all individuals. You each have something to bring. Bring it. I love seeing people get out and talk. And you ain't got to go out and pound down the streets. And man, all you got to do is just listen. It's amazing the little things that people are moved by. So now, having said that, Jesse, you can stop recording.